Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Yud Ches. We are in Yud Zayin. We happen to be on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, working our way back to where obviously we should be in terms of keeping up with the Daf Yomi. And we are in the middle of the discussion of Hanaka, Eved Ivri. So after the 6 years in which he works for you, so the Torah says that when you send him, don't send him with nothing. Psukim in Parshas Re'eh, V'chis Yishachan Chavshim Yimachlos Yishachan Reikam. So when you send them away, so do not send them empty-handed. That was Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Ha'anik ta'anik lo, mitzoncha migarncha miyag umiikvecha, sheberach Hashem lokecha titein lo. So we spent already a lot of time going through these psukim, these two psukim, and the mitzvah of Hanukkah, and making sure that you got to give them some sort of severance package. So you can't just simply dismiss them. You have to give them some parting gifts. And the Torah is actually very clear about what you need to give him. The Torah gives three different types of commodities in which you should give him. So so we spent a lot of time in yesterday's Daf Yizayin Amud Aleph going through what exactly, how much value are we talking about? Meaning, how much money are we talking about? Meaning, we know what the items are, but at what value? So yesterday, if you remember, we went through the Gemara where we had not one, but three different opinions amongst the Tanaim, exactly what kind of value we're looking at. Either it's going to be a total of 15 slime, 30 slime, or 50 slime, in which you have to give him. According to the first position, 15 slime, five from each of these minim, meaning it's got to be tzon, cattle, and goren and yekev, and grain and grapes. So and it's got to be five slime from each. And the other tonight argue, but anyway. So that was a discussion that we had in yesterday's daf, and we continue utzricha. So this is exactly where we left off yesterday. We can be found on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph with the words Tzricha, right? It is, if you want precision in terms of where we are, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Okay, right in the middle. Okay, Tzricha, the Gemara says. Now, as far as the Torah is the Torah telling us that it has to be tzon and garin and yekev. So in other words, why did the Torah give us all three of those different types in which that which you have to give to the Eved Ivri? So dikas rachman tzon, had the Torah only said tzon hava min balechaim in gedulei karkalo. So I would have thought that the Torah only allows that hanukkah has to be coming from live items, but not gedulei karka, not anything that just grows from the ground. So kaz rechman a garen, so that's why the Torah says garen. V'ikaz of garen, had the Torah only said grains, hava, I mean a gedulei karka in bali chayim lo. So kaz rechman a tzon. So I would have thought that the only thing that would satisfy hanukkah is only that which grows from the ground, but not animals. Okay. So in other words, it could be animals, it could be something that grows from the ground. Yekev lamali, so why does the Torah say the word yekev? We turn to the top of Yizayin Amud Beis. So, lamar lamute ksafem and lamar lamute prado. So this goes back to what we discussed yesterday, meaning that when the Torah introduces us to yekev, obviously grapes are gedulei karka, like we knew that already. So it's obviously there to make a point and to teach us something new, or actually an exclusion. So one exclusion, going back to yesterday's daf, is money. Meaning, it has to be something that multiplies, right? Money is not necessarily a multiplier, right? There is pushback on that point. By the way, money can be a multiplier because obviously money can be invested, but the money itself, right? In other words, actual currency itself is not a multiplier. Animals are multipliers. In other words, they procreate, right? And produce is multipliers, but money is not multipliers. So that's one reason why the Torah said yekev. It's one possibility. And the other possibility is lamute prados. No mules. You can't be manik with mules. Why? Because mules don't procreate. In other words, mules by definition are sterile. All right? Mules are the cross between a horse and a donkey. So on one hand, obviously extraordinarily helpful in terms of working your land. On the other hand, right? They're not porivirave. Tana Rabbana, we are on the brisa on the top of Yizayin Amud Beis. Asher Baruch Hashem Elokecha Yachol Nizbarach Habayis Beglalo Manikin Lo Nizbarach Habayis Beglalo Ein Manikin Lo Tamalamer Hanik Tanik Mikom Akom. Okay, so I would have thought, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says Asher Baruch Hashem, how do you give him parting gifts based on the bracha? So that means to say that for the 6 years that he worked for you, let's say you had no bracha, right? It's been a miserable financial 6 years. So I would have thought that you don't give him Hanukkah. Right, Hanukkah is only based on success. It's a success-based package. So the Gemara says, no. Hanek Tanik. The double language of Hanek Tanik means that, you know, you're going to give him the severance package regardless of the bracha. So im ke matam lamra sher berachacha kol lefi bracha tein lo. So then what do we do with the sher beracha? Meaning sher beracha sounds like it's performance based, and meanwhile it's not performance based. So the Gemara's response is that a sher beracha means, look, you're going to give him hanaka regardless. It is not a performance based gift. On the other hand, a sher beracha comes to tell me that, look, in other words, if let's say he didn't have a lot of financial success while he was with you, so you'll give him. Ah, but if he had financial success while he was with you, so then give him more. Okay, so in other words, so there is a performance aspect to the Hanukkah, but the Hanukkah has to come regardless. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer dvarim kichsavamin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, nah, I disagree. Right, he's a Tana, he could disagree. He does disagree. In fact, he says that it is performance-based. Nizbarach b'ayis b'glalo, ma'anik in lo, lo nizbarach b'ayis b'glalo, ein ma'anik in lo. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in other words, it's strictly performance based. If in fact there was bracha, fantastic. So then what you'll do is that you'll give him. And if there was no bracha, you won't give him hanaka. No need to. I ha'anek ta'anek, dibra Torah kolashim b'nei Adam. You know the Torah does that. Torah sometimes speaks the way you and I talk. And sometimes it sounds like an extra word, not necessarily, says Rav Elazar ben Azariah. It's an extra word. It's just, you know, that's just Torah talk, if you will. Okay. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Eved Ivri Oved Es Haben Ve'Eino Oved Es Habas. Okay, before we start, okay, so now we can pause. So we have had just a lengthy discussion regarding the mitzvah of Hanukkah, meaning yesterday's daf, which we're concluding right now, or soon to. So it took us through various aspects of Hanukkah. There are two psukim in the Torah in which discusses Hanukkah, and that's it. There are only two psukim in the Torah. Meaning, oddly enough, interestingly enough, in Parshas Bahar, there's no mention of Hanukkah, but understandably, by the way, because in Parshas Bahar, your mocher is atzmo. Okay, that's, and in Mishpatim, there's no mention of Hanukkah. Meaning that the only source of Hanukkah in the Torah is Parshas Re'eh, which that's fine. In of itself, fine, but there's only two psukim that deal with it. And so, in yesterday's daf, Yizayin of Kedushin, so we just got done discussing extensively Hanukkah, what is it comprised of, what is it composed of, what is going to be its value, is it a performance-based package, or do you give it not based on merit and performance? Okay. Tana Rabbanan Eved Ivri Oved Es Haben Ve'Eino Oved Es Habas. Ama Ivri Ha'Eino Oved Es Lo Es Haben Ve'Lo Es Habas. Nirtza. And Nimka Lava Kochavim Eino Oved Lo Es Haben Ve'Lo Es Habas. Okay, and now, is the Eved Ivri going to go on to the next generation? Now, let's be clear as I can. Eved Ivri is not something you own. You don't own him. And now, an Eved Kanani is the contrast. But we're not talking about Eved Kanani right now. We're talking about Eved Ivri. In other words, what you have purchased is that you have purchased his services, right? You have leased him in terms of his services. So, let's say, Rachmanis, you die, you the owner died. So is he going to get passed on to the next generation? The answer is unequivocally no. In other words, you don't own him. You only lease his services. So is there going to be a transfer of lease? So presumably the answer, of course, is no as well. In other words, you purchased him for you. But in other words, but if you're no longer here, so then he gets to go free. Right? That would be the simple way to look at it. Meanwhile, as we are about to learn together, there is going to be a limited transfer of lease of the Eved Ivri, and that's only in a case where it is a standard Eved Ivri and the person leaves over a son. But let's not call it Yerusha, because Yerusha is really not the right way to look at it. Had it been Yerusha, then it wouldn't matter whether you left a son or whether you left a daughter, in other words, or even if you left nobody, meaning you have next of kin. So let's not call it Yerusha. In fact, I'm not just proposing it. I'm insisting. So what exactly are we going to call it? I don't have a better word to describe it. But in other words, but in English, I'll just simply say it's a transfer of lease. Okay, the lease can be transferred, but limited, and that's only to your son. Now, how do we arrive at that conclusion? That's what we're about to see together right now. So all this is extraordinarily limited, and that is that this halacha of transfer of lease only applies to an Eved Ivri, but Eved Ivri and to the exclusion of Ama Ivriya, to the exclusion of Nirtza, and to the exclusion of Nimkar Lo V'Kochavim. So it's a very, very limited scenario in which there's going to be a transfer of lease. Okay. Now, it's only going to be to the son and not to the daughter. To the surviving son, not the surviving daughter. Now, Amar Mar Evad Ivri Ovid Esabas Minani Mili. So good. So now we know the halacha. We learned the halacha. And now how do we source it back to the Torah? Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. V'avadcha Sheishanim. So this is Parshas Re'eh. So L'chav lo liyaresh. So he's going to be working for you, right? The chaf at the end of avadcha. So he's going to be working for you, which means it's possessive, meaning it's you into the, and it's only going to be you. So l'chav lo liyaresh, meaning there is no Yerusha. Atam l'chav lo liyaresh, I know l'chav lo leven. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, once we've taken Yerush out, I don't know, says the Gemara, maybe it's l'chav lo leven. Maybe it's you and not your son, meaning you're insisting, however, going into this discussion, that there is going to be transfer of lease over to your son. But how does that work? So kishuamer sheshanim ya'avod hare leven amur. But the Torah also says sheshanim ya'avod. Remember, I mean, we've gone over this point a couple of times. It bears repeating. Parshas Re'eh, Parshas Mishpatim are machru beizdin, which means that those are 6-year eved ivris. So now, when the Torah says sheshanim ya'avod, that means he's working for 6 years, regardless of whether or not you survive those 6 years or you don't. Well, how do you understand that? The Gemara's assumption is that the way to understand that is that there is going to be an option for him to continue working, i.e., the service, the lease, will be transferred over to your son. Okay. So Sheishanim Yavod, so Hare Leben Amor, Hamen Mekayim Ba'avadcha Sheishanim, L'chavlo Liyarish. Okay. So basically what we have in the Torah is a tension. On one hand, the Torah says he works for you and only you. On the other hand, the Torah says that he works 6 years whether you're there or you're not there. It's a tension. So how do we resolve that tension? So we make a split decision. In other words, there is no Yerusha, but there is a limited transfer of lease to your son. Okay. And the Gemara says, that's great. So we have a tension, we have a resolution of tension. That resolution, how did you get there? So ma ra'ita l'rabba says, ben lo'otzis ach. So the Gemara says, so how did you arrive at that conclusion? You include the son, but you excluded the brother. Now, the Gemara says the word brother over here. The Gemara just simply means Yerusha, meaning, right, brother just simply is next, it's an example of next of kin, meaning so is son as well, but what we're doing is we're contrasting where there is a limited transfer of lease over to your son, but again, that's not Yerusha versus Yerusha. So we're expressing the word Yerusha through the ach. But anyway, how did you arrive at that distinction? So Marbani is a ben shekain kam tachas aviv liyada ulastei achuza. So the Gemara says, well, I know a number of halachas, well, two to be exact, in terms of where the son is a stand-in for the father. Again, this is beyond Yerusha. This is just simply the son being able to take a role that the father normally would do. Halacha number one is the halacha of yud. Happens to be what we're describing right now. Meaning in the event that a man goes and purchases another man's daughter, right? In other words, I'm a Ivriya. So in other words, so now you have her for your services and you have an option of marriage. It's called Yud. And I promised already a number of occasions that we're going to talk about Yud. I guess this is going to be, I don't remember perfectly, but I think this is our first venture into the world of Yud. And that is now that once she works for you, she's not married to you, meaning when you purchased her, that was an employment relationship, but you can take the employment relationship and you can now transform it into a marriage relationship. That's called yud. Now, who does yud? Either the man who purchased her can do yud, or his son. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So you see over here that number one in the halacha of yud, the son stands in for the father. Number two is a second halacha, and that's te'achuza. Te'achuza is the following. You go ahead and you are makdish your field, an ancestral field. And this is all found in Erechim. We did this, I was going to say, not so long ago. We did this some time ago. Anyway, so you're a makdish your field, and you were not poed to the field from Hekdesh. Somebody else was poed to the field from Hekdesh. So you know what happens in Yovel? You lose that land forever. Okay? These are all Yovel halachas, and we're just scratching the surface right now. But here's what we need to know. If you go ahead and redeem the field from Hekdesh prior to Yovel, so you get to keep it. Now, obviously, it would be important to you for you to the exclusion of anyone else to be poed to the field from Hekdesh. What if your son is poed to the field from Hekdesh? If your son is poed to the field from Hekdesh, Halacha treats it as if you did so as well. Meaning your son could stand in as your stand-in, vis-a-vis the Halacha of stay achuza, allowing you to maintain the land within the family. So now we have learned two halachas, the halacha of yud and the halacha of stay achuza, that the son basically can serve as a stand-in for the father. So, over here, we're wondering, so the transfer of lease of the Eved Ivri that can go from father to son, how do I know that? The Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know it. I know it because of two halachas we just learned, yud and stei achuza, adarabba. The Gemara says, that's wonderful. Marba ani esach shekein kam tachas halav liibum. So the Gemara says, you know, I can show you where the brothers are going to be serving as a stand-in. And that's in the mitzvah of Yibum, right? Rachmanis, the man dies and survived by a brother, so the brother now can go ahead and marry his wife. So the brother's going to be serving as a stand-in. So you're telling me transfer of lease should occur to the son. I can counter-argue and say, no, transfer of lease should go to the brother, because I find other areas in Allah where the brother's a stand-in. So, klum yesh Yibum, ela b'makom shein ben, hayesh ben en Yibum. The Gemara says, yes, I hear you, but I'm going to tear apart your argument. Right? I know I'm using strong language, but tear apart your argument. You are telling me that Yibum is an occurrence, an example in which the brother stands in for his own brother. Gemara says, really, consider the following. If let's say when your brother died, so he had surviving children, is there a mitzvah of Yibum? No, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Oh. Do you know why there's no mitzvah of Yibum? Because the child that they had now is in fact the stand-in for the late brother. So for his father. So in other words, the only reason where Yibum kicks in is only when there is no son. But if there's a son, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Ah. So in other words, so you're countering with look at Yibum. Yibum, we have the brothers as a stand-in. Yeah, but that's only when there's no son. Ah. So really what we have now done, shown not once, not twice, but three times over, is basically how the son is the stand-in for the father. So now as we look at our halach of transfer of lease of the Eved Ivri, it's going to be to the son to the exclusion of any other family member. So the Gemara says, Ela taimadika hapir chalav hachi ach ade v'tepele dahachatarti v'achachada. The Gemara over here just has a very technical point, meaning we're trying to argue who's more of a stand-in, the kid, the son, or the brother. We had two examples of the son, Yir and Stei Achuza. We had one example for the brother, which we dismissed, but before dismissal, we had one example for the brother, and that was Yibum. So it's two versus one. So the Gemara just wonders, like, you didn't even have to dismiss the Yibum argument, meaning it is a good dismissal, but you didn't even have to because it's 2v1. So the Gemara says, nah, it's not really 2v1. So Stei Achuza nami hapircha hu dekanafke leilatana, so the Gemara says, no, because the halachas of Stei Achuza, we don't find that in the Torah, meaning we deduced that point, but that point is not actually in the Torah itself. Yud, on the other hand, is in the Torah. The fact that the son can stand in for the father for the mitzvah of Yud, that's actually in the Torah itself. It's in the Psukim. So it's not really 2 versus 1, it's really 1 versus 1. Okay. Very technical point, but anyway, good. So, Ami Ivri, I know, Vedasolos, Ben Belos, Abbas. Okay, now, this idea of transfer of lease, where the Eved Ivri now is going to get transferred over to the son for the remaining, for the remainder of the 6 years, in the event that the father dies. So again, it's very limited. So number one, it only applies to a son, not to a daughter. Good. Number two, it only applies to an Eved Ivri. It does not apply to an Ami Ivriya. Okay. So So the Gemara now asks a simple question. And how did you arrive at that conclusion? I'm a Rabbi Puda, I'm a Kra, V'af Amascha Tasa Kain. Hikisha Kasuv Lanirza. Manirza, I know Ovid Lo Saben Velo Sabas. Af Am Ivri, I know Ovid Lo Saben Velo Sabas. He has a drasha. Quotes the pasuk from Parshas Re'ei. So V'af La Amascha Tasa Kain, you're going to do the same thing to an Amascha. Now, by the way, I really encourage you to look at the pasuk inside. Well, I mean, I always encourage, but over here, it happens to be that the Torah seems to be making a comparison between an Ama Ivriya and a Nirtza. That, again, Nirtza is the Eved Ivri who opted to stay in. Now, the comparison is really strange. Why? because we've already said multiple times, an Amma Ivriya does not have the option of Ritzia. So when the Torah says they're the same, Aftasekain Lamascha, so what is the compare? How are we comparing an Amma Ivriya to Nirza? That's exactly the point. So so what Reb Pada is coming to teach us is that just like by Nirza, there is no option of transfer of lease, so too the same thing is true regarding the Amma Ivriya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I need that pasuk to teach me another point, notably, that just like by Nirza there's Hanukkah, so too by the Amma Ivriya there's also Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe the Torah is telling us that there is an option of Ritzia when it comes to Amma Ivriya. The Gemara says, no, that's untenable. Kishu Omer v'im Amor Yomar Ha'eved. So v'lo b'Amma Ivriya, Ritzia Amor. No, in other words, go back to Parshas Mishpatim. We've made this point already a couple of times, but again, with the more times we review, the better we're going to digest and really organize this information. Ritzia is not an option for an Amma Ivriya. So when the Torah in Parshas Re'eh says they're comparable, oddly enough and correctly enough, they're not comparable vis-a-vis Ritzia. So what is the comparison for? Hanukkah. So Hamani Mekam Afla Maschata Sakin Lahanik. So basically the Gemara is now bothered by the fact that what do we have over here? We have two different halachas coming from the comparison of Amma Ivriya to Nirza. We have the Braisa that just taught us Hanukkah. There's severance packages for both. And we also have the Rebbe Pada halacha. And that is that for the transfer of lease, which doesn't occur for the Nirza and doesn't occur for the Amma Ivriya. So im kein nichtav kra la mascha kein my ta'ase shma min atarte. So what Rabbi Pada will tell you is that the Braisa of course is right, meaning the Braisa's halacha of Hanukkah is correct, but because there's an extra word in the pasuk, it allows also my halacha to be true as well. Again, by an Amma Ivriya, there's no transfer of lease. So Nirza Nimka Lovi Kochamino Velo Saben Velo Sabas. So Nirza Nimidh Sivra Saudana Vezas Nobem Ratseva Avadola Olam Velo Saben Velo Sabas. And oh, by the way, how do I know that by Nirza there's no transfer of lease? Meaning, who told us that? Right? The Brites operated that with the assumption that, of course, we knew that. So how do we know that? The Gemara says it's a pasuk in the Torah. In other words, the Torah says Veratza Adonav Vezas No. This is Mishpat. And you're gonna put a hole in his ear. Bemartseva Avado. La'olam. And he will work for him. Him meaning that only the principal is going to be enjoying the services, and not even the son is going to be enjoying the services. Lo saben, v'lo sabas. Nimka lo v'kochavim. Amr chizki amakra v'chishev im koneu. V'lo im yorshe koneu. And as far as being sold to a non-Jew, an eved ivri sold to a non-Jew, how do I know that there's also no transfer of lease? And the answer is because, again, it's a pasuk. V'chishev im koneu. Only the one who purchased him, the non-Jew who purchased him, with that individual you're going to be negotiating with, but not with any next generation. Why? Because there's no transfer. Okay. Okay. Amarava. Okay. Good. So far now, we have just covered a good part of Yitzayin and Beis, and a good part of it is going to be this very limited halacha of transfer of lease. When you have an Eved Ivri, and so you die, from a Yerusha standpoint, he is not yarshened over to the next generation or to anyone who stands to inherit you. On the other hand, there is a very limited halacha, which is that only in the case of Eved Ivri and only in the case where there is a surviving son. So now lease will be transferred over. The remaining, whatever balance 6 years is remaining, is going to be transferred over to the son. He will be able to take over the remainder of the 6 years. Okay, not from a Yerusha standpoint, but from a, and again, I really don't know how to, I don't know how to articulate it. So in English, I'll just simply say it's a transfer of the lease. Okay. Good. But this idea, however, does not extend to other categories of Eved Ivri. It doesn't apply to Amma Ivriya, it doesn't apply to Nirza, and it doesn't apply to an Eved Ivri that was sold to a non-Jew. Okay. So it's, categorically, it only really fits in one of the many different boxes of Eved Ivri. Amarava. Okay, so as we are now approaching the end of Yizayin Amid Beis and approaching today's daf. So now the following note of Rava, which is, did you just see what happened? Meaning that we just described how, if the Eved Ivri is purchased by a non-Jew, and by the way, that's a parsha in the Torah, meaning in Bahar, in one of the sections of Bahar, so it describes how the Eved Ivri was purchased by a non-Jew. And it talked about how family members should go ahead and try to redeem him. But anyway, but what did we just learn together? That in the event that the non-Jew dies, so his lease does not get transferred over to the next generation. No. Meaning, and subtly, or not even so subtly, what did we just learn together? That there is an institution of Yerusha by non-Jews. Now, an institution of Yerusha by Jews, those are Pesukim in the Torah, that's in Parshas Pinchas. Is there such a thing as Yerusha by non-Jews? Does the Torah recognize Yerusha by non-Jews? The fact that there is father-son more than just biologically in the world of non-Jews, that we knew already, right? We are going to be learning together later in this Masechta, like the third perek. I think I'm right. If not the third, it'll be the fourth. Whatever. We'll learn later in the Masechta that nationalities continue from father to son in the world of non-Jews. So the idea that your father was an Egyptian, you're going to be an Egyptian, we're going to be discussing that extensively as we move on later to the Masechta. Okay? All that's important because it has to do with marriage. In other words, certain people you can, cannot marry. Okay. Good. So that we know. The idea, however, that they also have Yerusha, they have probate law, so that we're learning together right now, meaning if they... The fact that the Torah recognizes that they have Yerusha, that's what we're seeing right now. Amar Rava. Dvar Torah v'kochem Yerusha zaviv shenemar v'chishav im koneel. V'loim im Yerusha koneel. Mechlal disle Yerusha. So Rava says, good. So now we could draw from this halacha that the halacha is a predicate of they have Yerusha. It's a predicate of they have Yerusha. Wonderful. So that means to say that they have Yerusha. So, okay, good. Another halacha. Now, let's say the son is a ger, and the father is a non-Jew, meaning the son decided to convert. So the fact that he inherits his father, that's not midivrei Torah, it's rather midivrei sofrim. As far as the Torah is concerned, what happens to the ger? Gershon is gar kakananola dami. So halachically, now he's a born again. Okay, right, that term was co-opted. But anyway, it's our term. So the son is a born again when he converts. So now, as a born again, so he does not have a halachic relationship with his father. So in other words, so he doesn't yarshin his father. But midirabana midivrei sofrim he yarshin zidnan. And over here, a mishnah in Demai. Why not? A mishnah in Demai that hammers this point home. So the mishnah writes that we're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. So, however, So, in the event now, right, that dad dies and he left two kids. One of them converted to Yiddishkeit. Sure, why not? So the Mishnah in Demai says that, look, if at that point in time, as far as dad's estate is concerned, he had a little bit of idolatry in his estate, right? Idols and Yain Nesach. And it's not good. I'm not dismissing, right? I'm not diminishing. But okay, in other words, right now, the Mishnah Demai just wants to know, in terms of distribution and division of the estate, so now the ger is going to be in a bit of a bind, meaning that obviously he does not want to take the Avodah Zarah. There's nothing he can do with it. It's Aser Behana. Same thing with the Ayin Nesach. It's Aser Behana. So the Mishnah Demai says is that as long as a division is done where the ger gets none of the Avodah Zarah and the guy gets all the Avodah Zarah, right? His biological brother, halachically not a brother, and he gets all the Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah Demai says that's fine. Yeah. But in other words, but now, let's say, now I'm not exactly sure legally how this works, but let's say they took acquisition of the estate. I don't fully know what I'm saying. Meaning, what does that mean exactly? I'm not sure. All right, I mean, I'll just read the Mishnah again. However, the Mishnah says, Mishabau lirishus, once it goes into his possession, okay, whatever legal mechanism it is. In other words, the estate now is taken by the two kids. Oh no, and the Ger's looking at his part of the estate. He's got Avodah Zarah, and he's got Yain Nesach. So he goes over to his brother and says, look, I'm Jewish now, remember? I converted. there's nothing I can do now with the Avodah Zarah. Can we swap? So once he takes possession of it, he can't swap. Why? Because we know, right? Because we know. In other words, not only is Avodah Zarah going to be Asur Ba'anah, but Chilufe Avodah Zarah is also going to be Asur Ba'anah. So at that point in time, there's nothing he can do. So V'isak Adach Amidah Raisa Kilo Ba'al L'Rishus Onami. So Kishakol Chilufe Avodah Kochav Mu'udaka Shakol Ala Midarabanan. So here the Gemara now wants to make its point. Meaning, what do we learn from this Mishnah and Demai? What we learn from this Mishnah and Demai is that prior to the possessions going into their possession, prior to that moment in time, so you can make a distribution, a division where you get the Avodah Zarah and I'll get the non-Avodah Zarah. Now.
Breder doesn't apply in this case.
Wait, well, hold it. So now, so the Gemara wants to know if Yerusha, it's not, the Gemara is observing. If Yerusha was a dinda oraisa, in other words, again, we're talking about now from father to son with a son converted. If Yerusha was a dinda oraisa, you would be stuck in either situation. Meaning, because if Yerusha was midaraisa, that means that the Torah is saying half the estate belongs to you. Either parts of it that you don't want and you want to swap out. Well, for Avodah Zarah, you can't. So in other words, by virtue of the fact that there is an option to quote unquote swap out, and I'll take the non-Avodah Zarah half and you take the Avodah Zarah half, that is a clear indication that for a father-son where the son is a ger, that is not a d'oraisa Yerusha, that's a d'rabban Yerusha, allowing for a little more flexibility. Oh. Okay. And by the way, to your question of Breira, yes. Meaning if you subscribe to Breira, so then you can argue that what I got was all mine from the original, from the original. Correct.
So, but the thing is, we have already in the past we applied the concept of the Breira to inheritors.
It happens to be
property.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, fair. In our Gemara is not going to be bringing up Breira as an issue, but it's fair. Your point is extraordinarily fair. So the Gemara says okay. Now that we know that Yerusha from father to son, where the father is a guy and the son is a ger, so we know that the Yerusha operates midrabanan. The Gemara just is now going to explain to us why. Meaning, why did the Chachamim institute such an institution? Zeru David Rabbanan Shema Yachzor Lusuro. So the because what we want to do is we want to incentivize the ger, meaning we basically want to encourage him to continue in his choice of becoming a convert. Meaning consider, this is basically the Gemara's point. He converted, and so not only is he now bound, obligated, responsible in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but on top of that we say to him, oh, by the way, you know your father, I know your father was very wealthy, but you know you're getting none of it. So he'll look at you and he'll say, I'm sorry, could you repeat that please? Right. In other words, you're a gersha in his gaya kakana nola dami. You have no halachic relationship anymore with your father, and therefore you're not going to get any of the yerusha. Right. All that money is going to go to your brother, your biological brother. So then, what he would seriously do is seriously. In other words, obviously he committed, but he would seriously reconsider that commitment. So as a result of that, the chachamim said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to incentivize to stay on board. And what we're going to do, midrabanan, is give him half the Yerusha. Or whatever. I say half. In other words, whatever Yerusha is due to him. The Gemara quotes the price of Bemet, Varma Morim Kishe Yarshu. Aval Kishe Nishtatfu. Aser. Okay, and the price over here makes the same point. Meaning that via Yerusha, you can take whatever half you want and leave your brother with whatever half you want. However, Shutfus. Once you established a partnership over the estate, and now you want to dissolve the partnership, and again the estate is made up of Avodah Zarah and non-Avodah Zarah, right? Now you're going to have a problem because now you really are exchanging Avodah Zarah for non-Avodah Zarah, and that you can't do. Okay. Ovikochav Mesager. Okay. As long as we're on the topic of Yerusha, admittedly this is a tangent. But as long as we're on the topic, the Gemara gives us another halacha. And that is, so let's say you have a father who converted later in life, already had children. The children obviously were goyim, are goyim. And now dad converted. Okay, so now what do we do with the Yerusha here? So the Gemara tells us, Ovikocham esager. So ger esager. Eino lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei Sofrim. So over here, not midivrei Torah, not midivrei Sofrim, meaning there's zero Yerusha. Okay. In other words, in the flip case where the son is the ger, so there midirabbanan, the rabbis went ahead and pushed the Yerusha through to him, and again, to continue to incentivize him to remain Jewish. Meaning, regardless, he is still Jewish. Right? In other words, but obviously the financial incentive will help him, you know, keep to his decision, keep to his commitment. But over here on the flip case where dad was a ger and now he passed away, so the chachamim, there's nobody to incentivize. Meaning the surviving children are goyim, and mid araisa there is no Yerusha, gershin is gair kakana nola dami. And so now what happens to the estate? What happens to the estate is it's hefker. And the chachamim did not feel a need under those circumstances to go ahead and to legislate that the money should go to the children. There's nobody to incentivize. So did Nan, and over here a Mishnah. Lava Maus Menageshin is Gari Banavimo. Lo Yachsu Lavanav Im Hichzer. Ein Ruch Hachamim Noch Emeno. So over here it is a Mishnah. Okay. Shvius. Okay. Anyway. So and the Mishnah tells us that if I borrow money from a convert and he dies, so there's no need. Right, so there's no need to pay back the children, and again because dad was a convert. Now it happens to be in this Mishnah, the children are also converts as well. But the point still is the same, meaning that the dad was a convert. Again, gershin is gaya kachana no adami. So halachically he has no family halachically, meaning and so so there's no need to pay his children the debt. So, and not only that, not only is there no need, and then the Gemara says, I'll go even further than that, meaning it's discouraged. It's discouraged to pay back the kids. Now, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to look at another Braisa, and the second Braisa says, it's not discouraged, it's encouraged. So, you borrowed money from a ger. He dies. You have his children. Now, his children also happen to be converts. Okay, so one Brisa says, I discourage paying them back. There's no need to. And the other Brisa says, you know what? I'm going to encourage it. So, lo kasha. Kan sharasa v'leidasa shalo b'dusha. Kan sharasa shalo b'dusha v'leidasa b'dusha. So the Gemara says, well, what I'll do is I'll make the following distinction. Okay. And truth of the matter is that this distinction, I'm only presenting one interpretation. One version of this distinction. There happens to be that this is an extraordinarily long discussion, but we're going to do the short version. And when I say the short version, meaning we're going to do the Rashi version, which is as follows. If let's say the father who is a convert had a child, now impregnated the mother before he converted, and leidaso shalab b'kdusha, and the baby came out and only afterwards did the child convert. Okay, so there, according to Rashi, there is no need to return the money. Okay, in other words, the father was a convert, the son was a convert. There is no relationship halachically between father and son, and so therefore you borrowed money from the father. He died, the money's yours, and not even from a encouragement standpoint do you have to go back and pay back the son. Okay. However, kan sharasa shalo bigdusha, veleidasa bigdusha, the way Rashi interprets it, obviously in that situation as well, meaning there is no halachic relationship between father and son. Meaning consider, father converted, and when dad impregnated the mother, that was before dad converted. So in other words, there is no relationship between father and son. No, okay. And you borrowed money from the father and he died. So there, even...
Who died?
Huh? The father died. So there, even though there is no relationship between father and son, there the Chachamim will encourage you to pay back the son. Why? Because even though there is no relationship halachically between father and son, but the kid is Jewish. In other words, leidaso b'kedusha. And since the kid is Jewish, so the and I didn't pay back the son, people will think to themselves, well, that's weird. Meaning, I borrowed money from the father, he died, and the kid's Jewish and I don't have to pay him back. And people will erroneously conclude, oh, there is no need to pay back debt to the next generation, right? In that case, I didn't have to pay back. I don't have to pay back in other cases as well. Now, the subtlety that people don't realize is, well, the reason why you don't have to pay back in this case is because the father was a convert and there is no relationship between father and son. And that's a subtlety. And people may not know that. So therefore, what the Chachamim said is, look, in such a situation, we're going to encourage you to pay back the son because we want people to think that and under almost every circumstance, you do have to pay back debt to the next generation. Okay. We just scratched the surface on that topic. It happens to be. Tosus over here gives another interpretation of the Gemara, right? Defends Rashi, dismisses Rashi. Anyway, it goes much longer. Okay, so we're going to wrap up on this topic of Yerusha V'goyim. Okay, right? It's a tangent from our Gemara, but again, how do we get here? Because we learned together that when a guy purchases an Eved Ivri and the guy dies, so the lease does not go to the transfer of lease does not go to his children, despite the fact that Yerusha does. Oh. And from there, the Gemara said, oh, side point. There's Yerusha by Goyim. And so what we've been discussing now for a good part of today's daf is this idea that there's Yerusha by Goyim. Okay, the Gemara is wrapping up on this topic. Rav Chiya bar Avin Amar, Rav Yochanan Ovi, Kocham Yorish, Esavit, Vartov, and Yechziv, Ki Yerusha la'esav nasati, Eshar Seir. Okay, I'll show you a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, right, Perek Beis, that there's Yerusha by Goyim. V'dimo Yisrael Mumashayni. So the Gemara has an interesting counter argument. Esav's not Jewish, he's Jewish. Okay.
Jewish mother.
Jewish mother, Jewish father. He's Jewish. Jewish. Okay. Now the struggle is obvious. In other words, right? In other words, the word Jewish by Esav already is a looser term. In other words, right, the Avos were, there was no Torah, there was no, whatever. In other words, the status of the Avos, an often discussed topic, I probably discussed it myself at one point in time or another, so the status of the Avos is open for discussion. And so for the Gemara to say, oh, you know, Esav, he's Jewish, so you can't use him as a source. I mean, already it's already challenging. So anyway, Elam Yehalcha, so the Gemara says, Ki livnei lot nasati is our Yerusha. So another pasuk also in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, and that is that to the bnei lot, so there is a Yerusha, the city of Ar. Okay. So v'rechia barav in maitama alo amar karava, so the Gemara says, okay, each one of them is extracting the point just from a different source. Why did each one reject the other? So my time, Alam Karava. So why did Rav Chiya bar Avin, who learned it from Esav, why didn't he learn from Lot? So Miksiv v'chishiv im koneo. Sorry. Why didn't he learn it from the Eved Ivri? So Miksiv v'chishiv im koneo v'lo im yorshe koneo. Well, because you only deduced it from Eved Ivri. In other words, the word Yerusha is not found in Parshas Bahar by Eved Ivri. V'rava, my time, Alam Karav Chiya bar Avin, mishim kvodo da Avram shani. So I could argue the following, and that is kvodo shal Avram. The fact that Avram is giving Yerusha over to Esav, that's not a function of Yerusha, that's a function of Avram's extraordinarily special. And so because of the unique and special nature of Avram, so we're going to honor Avraham by having more lands associated to him. But it's not because it follows the regular rules of Yerusha, it's just that, all right, this is a shout out to Avram, if you will. Okay, so the Tan Rabbanan Yesh be Ivri She'ein be Ivri Avi Yesh be Ivri Yashin She'ein be Ivri. So now more on the Eved Ivri front, compare and contrast the Eved Ivri to the Ami Ivriya. So yesh be'ivri sheyotze b'shanim. So the ivri goes out after 6 years. Uvi yovel, and he goes out in yovel. Meaning if yovel comes out in the middle of 6 years. So v'mitzas, I don't know if the owner dies. Masha enkein be'ivriya. The ivriya does not leave under those circumstances. Now v'yesh be'ivriya, sharei ivriya yotze b'simanim, v'enu nimkeres v'nishneis. Umaftin osa ba'korchal. Masha enkein be'ivri. However, there are unique features to the amma ivriya. Number one, with maturation, she goes free. We discussed that already previously. She is not sold and resold. We haven't discussed that previously. That's coming up. And podino sabakarcha. You can redeem her against his will. You can redeem her against his will, meaning against the will of the father. So and again, that doesn't apply to Eved Ivri. Okay, so a number of halachas that we just rattled out. And now the Gemara is going to take time, slow it down, and go over each one of them. Amar Mar. So let's go. So the Gemara says that, you know, the Ivriya goes out with Simanim, she doesn't go out in any of the other manners. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Right? The Mishnah. We saw the Mishnah on Daf Yadalit. So Yisera Alav Ami Ivriya Konatzma B'Simanim. In addition, said the Mishnah, of all the ways the Eved Ivri exits, so does the Amma Ivri exit as well. And plus, and you're telling me that the Amma Ivri does not exit in the standard ways. So the Gemara says, oh, you misunderstood. What the Braisa was saying is that in the event that the owner opts into Yi'ud, so then she does not leave in the standard way. So the Gemara says, Yadab Shita. So Gita Bai. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If you take the Amma Ivri and you opt into yid and into marriage, so she doesn't go free. You know what she is? She's your wife. So in other words, what are you talking about? So Mao Ditemalo Liptale Hilchasamina. So Kamash Malan. Gemara has an interesting suggestion. And that is that yes, you opted into marriage, but maybe from a status standpoint, she's an Amma Ivriya. And your wife. So I know. Okay, I'll pass on that one. I will not feel that ground ball. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Now I totally don't understand. If the Bryce is talking about where you opted into Yud and now you turned her into your wife, so what does that mean? Yotza b'simanim. She goes out with simanim. She's your wife. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar im lo yada yotze af b'simanim." So the Gemara says, "Oh, so no, if you do yud, so then the if you don't do yud, so then she could go even af b'simanim." Okay, so fine. So what we just did is that an enachinami, an amma ivri is going to go out in any of the standard manners of shanim and yovel. And Misas Ha'adon.
Before Yud.
Right. And that's all before Yud. And the only point that he was making is that after Yud is done, now she doesn't go free. You might have thought that she maintains her Amma Ivriya status. She does not. Okay, let's do a little bit more. Yeah, let's do a little bit more. Okay, Ve'enu Nimkares V'Nishnei, she is not sold repeatedly. Okay. Let's pause over here. I'd rather do this. I know I'm going to have to end up breaking in the middle anyway. So let's start this fresh tomorrow. Okay, fine. We did okay. Still need more to catch up. The Amud Beis of today is short, so hopefully that will allow. And tomorrow's daf is going to be a little bit shorter. Okay, a little bit. Okay, no, it's not so bad. Okay, anyway, let's quickly review. Let's recap. Okay, we finished up yesterday's daf Yud Zayin. We talked about transfer of lease. Okay, a really interesting idea that exists within the world of Eved Ivri. There is no Yerusha. You don't own him. So, in other words, he's not property that's going to go to your next generation. However, there is a limited transfer of lease. And that is that if the owner dies if the Adon dies, okay, doesn't make it much better, but if the Adon dies and he leaves over a son, so the son gets to now assume the lease until the end of the 6 years or until Yovel, whichever comes first. Okay, and why? So in other words, we darshan the Pesukim. In other words, it's part of the Halacha. It's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. We use the Pesuk to arrive at that conclusion. But again, it's extraordinarily limited. It applies only to a standard Eved Ivri. It does not apply to an Eved Ivri on Irtza. It does not apply to an Am Ivriya. It does not apply to an Eved Ivri that was sold to a guy. And it only applies to your son and not your daughter. This idea that your son is your stand-in, where else do we find it in Halacha? We find it by Yud. We find it by Steachuza. And we also find it by Yibum. Right? For a moment, the Gemara thought that the Yibum really accentuates the brother being the stand-in. But the Gemara says, but if you really think about it, that's not true. The brother only is there when there is no son. But if there's son, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So even Yibum itself also speaks to this idea that the son is really a stand-in for the father. Okay, so that is what we discussed extensively on Yud Zayin. On Yud Zayin Amud Beis, going to the top of Yeches Amud Aleph, we also touched on Yerusha, Yerushas Hagoyim. The idea that there is an institution of Yerusha, the Torah recognizes it from father to son by Goyim, so that we see what's the source of that, so that we discussed through Yudches Amud Aleph. And then on Yudches Amud Aleph, we started the compare and contrast the Eved Ivri to the Am Ivriya. So notable differences between them. And right now we just went through one, and that is how Yitzia is done. So when it comes to the Am Ivriya, Yitzia is done with an additional manner that you don't have by the Eved Ivri, and that's Simanim. And we touched on the topic of Yid.